Well, we are nearing the end of the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. We've been studying this wonderful chapter this year, for the whole year, actually. We started in chapter 12 in the beginning of the year during our Sunday school series. So if you'll turn with me to Hebrews, chapter 12, we are now going to look at verses 22 to 24. Wonderful verses in the Bible. Verse 22. The Bible says, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." As we read in verse 22, we are reminded that God has described to us in previous verses the location of Mount Sinai there in the Sinai desert, and that's where God's people were given the law, the Ten Commandments, in the wilderness there with Moses. And now we change locations to Mount Zion. And yes, there is a Mount Zion that describes the Jerusalem that is on earth, but the Bible describes to us another city here in verse 22, "and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem." So now the writer of Hebrews begins to describe our ultimate home. When we realize that we are sinners by the law, God doesn't want us to stay there. He wants us to come to the place of grace, the place of forgiveness of sins. And then he wants us to realize that ultimately we are headed home to our heavenly city. And this wonderful few verses here in the Word of God describe to us our home, our heavenly home as Christians. And the wonderful thing is that that for those of us who are Christians, God wants us to accept by faith what we know to be true. And He wants us to live for eternity today. The Bible says that when God looks at you and I, it's already as if you and I are seated in heaven. That's how He sees us. Though we are here, in God's sight, we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And that's why it's important for you and I to think about heaven, to meditate and look to things above. You remember Abraham of old? He left his home, but what does the Bible say? He was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. You know, Abraham, when he left, he wasn't looking for the next best place to move to. He wasn't looking for a new city where he could build up his business again. No, he was looking to things above. And brethren, that's what God wants us to do in our Christian lives. And that's why He's given us these verses. You know, when we look at the description of heaven here, it's almost as if a real estate agent has come by our side, and some of them do it a little bit forcefully, and they try and impress us with the description of this new location. And thankfully, God isn't selling anything, amen? Thankfully, this is our heavenly home. And God is describing to us the wonderful home that Christ has already purchased for us. Now, we can't see heaven with our eyes, can we? If you look up, you can't see heaven. But we can see heaven by faith through the Word of God, and live excitedly and live with hope for what is to come. So the question on the top of your notes is this: where do you live? Are you, as a Christian, living in unbelief and living for this world as a result? Or are you looking to things above like Abraham of old, and are you living for eternity to come? Well, I hope some of these encouraging truths will help you to rejoice this morning and to look to the Lord and to look to things above. Roman numeral number one, as we look at heavenly Zion, what do we notice? Well, we notice that it is a place that is equal for all. Equal for all. Your first blank is the word equal. Zion is equal for all. Now, I remember when I was traveling overseas, I went to visit my relatives, and we went to the snow. It was snowing, and I ended up falling and spraining my wrist. I thought it was broken, and immediately they took me to hospital. And it was a dark, damp, cold place. And when we arrived there, there was one little office. Hospitals were run differently there than here. And there was a huge line leading into this one little office. And there was a large number of people just waiting there. In fact, it was a public holiday, which made things worse. So everyone who had hurt themselves or needed attention came to this place. So I had to wait in line for ages. Finally, when we got to the doctor with my cousins, they were trying to translate and explain to the doctor for me what had happened, that I'm not a national, that I'm a foreigner. And as soon as she found out I was a foreigner, she started to tell them how much money she wanted me to give her. And she started to describe to them, well, he doesn't have insurance, he doesn't have this and that, so he needs to pay this and this. And they told me, oh, she's just trying to get money out of you. And so they had to talk and debate and reason with her. And finally she allowed me to see another doctor to take some x-rays. And there I sat in another line, and finally the whole episode was over. They wanted to put my wrist in a cast, but a doctor came out and he said to me, don't listen to that doctor because they just want to charge you for the cast. I would go back to where you came from and get them to give you the x-rays there. After they x-rayed my hands 20 times under an old Russian machine that looked like it was out of the Dark Ages. Anyway, I say that to say that, you know, in heaven, there won't be any prejudice and there won't be any inequality when we get to our heavenly home. Amen? You know, this world is corrupt. People love money. People love themselves. It is a sinful, corrupt world. That's why unfair things happen. And we need to accept it. Why? Because this is not heaven. But the good news is, church family, that one day when we get to heaven, it will be a place where there will be no prejudice, where there will be no bias, for God is no respecter of persons. It will be 100% equal for all. Have you ever thought about that before? You know, there'll be no great sinners and small sinners in heaven. Amen? You know, if you've ever been to the Vatican, and I've never been there before, you would see these great monuments of the saints, you know, Peter, Paul, and every other disciple mounted in marble, maybe some popes as well, I'm not sure. But they're all lifted up and glorified before all. But the reality is, the Bible says that the only people that will be in heaven are people on the same level. People that have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. It will be equal for all. And that's a wonderful thought. Notice there in your notes, here are some verses for us to put our faith in. Galatians 3:28. The Bible says that there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all, what's the next word? One in Christ Jesus. You see, the world today is divided, isn't it? It's divided by nationally. It's divided racially. It's divided ethnically. But the Lord Jesus Christ came to erase all those divisions. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. You see, Christ removed the wall of sin. It's sin that causes division. And with that removed, we are one in Jesus Christ. And when we get to our heavenly home, there will be equality for all. There will be perfect justice for all. There will be no corruption, amen? There'll be no sin. There'll be no unfairness. And all of us, regardless from where we came from, whatever culture, whatever background, whatever ethnic background we come from, we are all one in Christ Jesus. And by the way, let me say this. No matter what we've done in the past as Christians, amen? No matter what we have done, it's all been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? We ought to rejoice. You know, sometimes we feel like we'll be guilty for the rest of eternity. And God doesn't want us to feel guilty now. He wants us to confess our sins because He is righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful to do that. We can experience salvation and experience cleansing from sin. God doesn't want us to live in guilt. In fact, more so, He wants us to look to things above and be excited about our heavenly home. Maybe recently you've been unfairly dealt with. And you've been, you know, hurt by the corruption of this world. Someone maybe has stolen something from you, or something perhaps didn't come your way that should have. And it's just unfair, and it's not right. Well, thankfully, God is in control of all things, but one day we will have a heavenly home where everything will be perfect, amen? Where everything will be wonderful. And even if you and I as Christians, as we do, we wander away from God, our home doesn't change. Our destination doesn't change. That's why it's so important to be like Abraham and to look to things above. If you and I are consumed with our sins and with our discouragement and by the wickedness of this world, if that's all we think about, and we don't meditate about the wonderful future ahead, we will live in bondage. You know, during the Civil War in the United States of America, if you know a little bit about American history, Abraham Lincoln, the president, spearheaded the Emancipation Proclamation, which set the slaves free. But that document was only in theory, not in practice. It had to be enforced, and many of the slaves down south, they didn't know they were free until the Union Army came in and showed them that document. They were still living as slaves, though they had been set free. And many times as Christians, that's how you and I live. We've been set free in Jesus Christ. We are now one in Christ. We have all the riches and blessings of the Son of God and a heavenly home awaiting us, but we live in despair. We live in discouragement because this happened to me, that happened to me. And we live in unbelief when God wants us to look to things above, doesn't He? He wants us to realize that there is a heavenly city that is prepared for you and I. Well, it will be equal for all. Notice, secondly, it will be an eternal city. Zion is the eternal city. Your blank is the word eternal. Point number two. Zion is an eternal home. The Bible says, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God." Now, here on earth, buildings are temporary. That's why some of us at the moment are doing a little bit of spring cleaning. Why? Because we know that summer's coming. And it's just around the corner. We don't know when it's going to hit. So some of you are doing some spring cleaning while it's a little bit cooler because things run down. Things get moldy, things break, things get older. The sun destroys things faster, and over time the elements and the wear and tear of buildings and whatever we have as possessions affects them, and they grow old and they decay. But the city of God, our heavenly home, is built with materials that will last forever. Amen? The Bible tells us that each gate, for example, of the holy city is made from a single pearl. Did you know that a 1,000-year-old pearl is just as strong as a pearl that was just newly formed? That's amazing. Every gate in the holy city is made of a pearl. The streets of heaven are made with what? Gold, pure gold. Now, if you have a ingot or more of gold that you want to get rid of, I'd gladly invite you to bring it to my house. That would be fine. If it's getting a little bit old and you're worrying it's just going to decay, I'm sure we would be happy to receive it. Because the good news is, gold does not decay either. Gold retains its purity. It doesn't age, it doesn't decay. These are the materials that our heavenly city will be made with. It won't break down like the buildings around us, our home, our possessions, our cars. When was the last time you serviced your car and you looked at the bill and you wish you never took it in? You know? Why? It runs down. Everything runs down. But our heavenly city will not. It will not run down. It will not decay. And all these materials in the New Jerusalem are perfect because everything in heaven is perfect. You know, sometimes perhaps you're frustrated that, you know, you clean and then it's not long before you need to do it again and again and again. Friends, one day that will never happen again. Amen? Never will. Everything will be perfect. You see, in the beginning, how did God's creation start? It was perfect. God created a perfect earth, perfect heaven, perfect garden where mankind dwelt with Him. Unfortunately, sin destroyed everything. And even as Christians, we live with the consequences of sin. You might be here this morning and say, why is this happening to me? The answer is sin. Not necessarily your sin, but the fact that we live in a sin-cursed world. We live in a corrupt world. We need to have the right perspective as Christians. But God gives us wonderful hope because this is not our home. We are pilgrims passing through. We are strangers. We are aliens, if you will, heading to our heavenly Jerusalem. It is a perfect place. It is an eternal place. And that's the place God is preparing for you and I. Let's read John chapter 14 in our notes this morning. Why don't we read these two verses together? John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. On to 1, 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. In Adelaide, I was witnessing to someone I met, and that person asked me, do you believe that Jesus Christ is coming again? And I said, absolutely. Well, here he says, I will come again. I will receive you unto myself. And what's even better, he's prepared a place for you. He's prepared a place for me. A mansion. Isn't that what these verses say? Not just a little shack, a mansion. A wonderful place. You see, living by faith, what does that mean to live by faith? It means to live for things above. That's what will give you joy each day. Living for things above. If your eyes are stuck on the things below, you will be, as we know, as we all experience, discouraged. You'll be discouraged. You'll be depressed if you look at things below. Why? Because everything's corrupted. Everything's breaking down. In fact, if we read our Bibles correctly, what is the end of everything? Everything will be destroyed. That's why it's so important for us to have a heavenly perspective, because your perspective will determine how you live. That's why the Lord Jesus said, don't lay up treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, but lay up treasures where? In heaven. God wants us to live for things that are of worth eternal value. God wants us to live with hope that one day we will be in a place that will be perfect forever. And you know, that thought, that encouragement will help you and I to endure the present, won't it? We can endure the present because we know that this isn't forever. See, a lot of our discouraging thoughts are lies. What are some of those thoughts? Well, let me give you one of them that I've experienced, that this is terrible, this is a mess, and I'm going to be stuck here forever. My situation will never change. Thoughts of despondency, thoughts of hopelessness. We all experience those, don't we? This is terrible. How did this happen? I'm never going to get out of this. Well, if we live by faith, we'll have to stop and admit, hang on, that's a lie. No matter what happens, friends, in your life and mine, we have a heavenly home. And we need to get busy laboring with the gospel. Laboring with the message of salvation so that others can be saved and others can have the same hope. We need to live with hope. And let me say this, just as heaven is so wonderful, in the same respect, hell is so horrible. Heaven is so wonderful, but hell is so horrible. We need to be busy laboring with the gospel and not stuck in our foolish bickering and complaining about things that just are unfair. Friends, one day we will be in our heavenly city. We need to look to things above and live for eternity today. Here's a good one. I like this one. Roman numeral number 3. Sion, our perfect neighbours. Have you ever thought of that before? Our perfect neighbours. Your blank is the word neighbours. How many of you have ever had neighbours that you wish you hadn't? Yeah? And you thought to yourself, well, I might need to move. Now, seriously, some neighbours can be that bad. You know, you try to witness to them, you try and be a good testimony, but the rock music is blaring at all hours of the night, and all sorts of things can happen, and it can be a real torment, a real heartbreak. But the Bible tells us, notice in these verses, chapter 12, verses 22 to 23, who are our neighbours? They're in your notes. And to an innumerable company of angels. Well, what do the angels do in heaven? What do they do? Who can tell me? They praise God. They worship God. You know what that tells me? Our new neighbours will be playing a different kind of music. Amen? It'll be music that is much better than anything you've ever heard. Godly music. Eternally pure music. Music that's in harmony. Music with perfect voices. These will be our neighbours forever. The angels of heaven that cannot even be counted. And heaven is filled with angels praising and worshipping God. How many of you agree that that's going to be some wonderful neighbours? Amen? Absolutely. Now, notice verse 23, what it does it say? We will also live with the general assembly and church of the firstborn. Now, in Bible times, the firstborn son received the greatest blessings and the largest share of the inheritance. You remember Esau? Our God gave us Esau as a bad example. He was the elder son. He should have received the inheritance of the elder son, but he sold his birthright to Jacob. He missed it. He missed out on it. But as Christians, the Bible tells us that we are the church of the firstborn. The Lord Jesus Christ is the firstborn of God, the begotten of God, the Son of God who came to this world to be born of a virgin and to die on the cross for our sins. If we've received Christ as our Saviour, the Bible tells us here we get to share in all the privileges and all the blessings of the Son of God. Amen? In Christ we share all the riches and blessings of God the Son. What an amazing thought. What an amazing truth. And together, who will be in heaven? Well, believers. Believers who have been saved, who love the Lord. That's who our neighbours will be. And of course, we want everyone to be in heaven as the Lord wants. He says, He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But understand that in heaven, everything will be perfect. Everything will be wonderful. We'll have perfect neighbours at last. Everyone will be talking about the Lord. Amen? Everyone will be rejoicing in the Lord. There'll be no one that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. Imagine that for a moment. Imagine that. How strange that is to us today to even find one person in the workplace that would even talk about Jesus, let alone be saved. Or anyone in our street who is a Christian, a born-again Christian. I dare say you could knock on every door in your street and perhaps not find anyone who's saved. Perhaps. But in heaven, we will have heavenly neighbours. Would you agree that that's a place that we should be looking forward to going? So when you and I are discouraged by even our neighbours around us, friends, that's not forever. God has put you and I there to tell them about the Lord, to be an example of Jesus Christ. Lastly, Sion, the presence of God. Your last blank is the word presence, Roman numeral number 4. The presence of God. Verse 23 says, as heaven is described, our heavenly home, and to God, the judge of all. As we've seen, there are many wonderful things in heaven, wouldn't you agree? Many beautiful things in heaven, but all the beauty and all the wonder of heaven will pale in comparison to being in the presence of Almighty God. Seeing the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. Seeing the glory and the purity of God with our own very eyes. And that's where the Lord Jesus Christ will be. Notice what verse 24 says, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Now, there are many names and there are many titles for the Lord Jesus Christ, but what is he described as here? As the mediator. Now, a mediator, in this word that is given, is someone who brings peace between two parties that are at war. For example, like the United Nations, if you will. Though, they're not the best example. But two nations going to war, United Nations try their best and their worst to step in and fix the situation, but the Lord Jesus Christ is the ultimate mediator. He is the one that has come to bring peace between two parties that are at war. Who are these parties? Well, holy God and sinful man. And the Lord Jesus Christ came to bring peace, how? Through the blood of the new covenant. You see, he shed his holy blood. He's the mediator of the new covenant. The old covenant or the old agreement was the law at Sinai. And the law that condemns us, and the law that judges us. But he is the mediator of the new covenant, the blood that saves us, the blood that frees us by his mercy. We are no longer in bondage unto the law, we are free to live unto the Lord through his grace. What a wonderful truth. What a wonderful joy. And you and I were at war against God because of our sins. But Jesus stepped in as the mediator and cleansed us with his holy, precious blood. I trust that you have accepted Christ as your Savior. I trust that he is your mediator between you and God. What a wonderful Savior we have. What a wonderful day it will be to stand before the Lord and see the one who saved us, the one who suffered for us, the one who saved us today will be there awaiting us. In fact, he's coming back to get us in our heavenly home. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And in Zion, we will get to live in the presence of the Lord. And that is our heavenly home. And as we end this morning's lesson, back to the question, where do you live? Where do I live? Are we living in this world, believing and behaving as if this is all there is? Or are we like Abraham of old, looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God? See, that's why Abraham was a man of faith, because he looked to things above. And that's what it simply means to live by faith today. Let me encourage you, Christian, to look to things above. Amen? Amen. Be encouraged by these wonderful truths. An innumerable company of angels, imagine that. Perfect neighbors, a perfect city, perfect equality for all, and a perfect loving God who's prepared a place for you and I. Now, with that view in mind, that frees us up from all the baggage, the weight, the guilt, in order to do what? To tell others about Christ, the mediator of the new covenant, the one who shed his blood for them. So we're not weighed down by our complaining, our foolish thinking, and we can press on even through the most difficult of times. Christian, where do you live? Let's live for eternity. Amen.